Well, today I have some heartburn. Anybody have any heartburn for breakfast this morning? Yeah, heartburn is a pain, isn't it? I mean, if you've ever had heartburn, it's not really your heart, is it? You might say, oh, I've got a bit of heartburn. It's actually your oesophagus. What's it called? That the oesophagus? Chris, help me. Oesophagus, yeah. That opens up and the acid comes back up from your stomach and you have this burning in your heart and it feels like you have heartburn, but it's not your heart. Often we say these things, don't we, about our heart. Oh, that stirs my heart to hear your story. Oh, my heart is strangely warmed for what you've said. Oh, that really gets my heart set on fire. Well, today we're going to find out about heartburn. My name is Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're in week 3 of our little series, Fire Starters. The first week we talked about what we need in order to keep a fire going. I've got the fire triangle back up for you just in case you forgot what it is that we need. Yeah, we need a bit of oxygen, we need heat, and we need fuel to keep our fires going. And we're using this analogy to talk about our own faith in 2023. The first week we talked about heat, how God brought the heat on Mount Carmel. Even though there was water all over the altar, God defied the chemical reaction that we need to get a fire, and the fire went ablaze. The altar went ablaze. Last week, we talked about the fuel that is needed in order to keep our fire going. The apostles, after having a lot of heat at Pentecost, decided after they met that they would focus on the apostles' teaching, that they would meet together in each of their homes, eat together, have communion together, and pray together. And they're like the 4 foundational things for fueling your faith. This week, we're talking about oxygen, or bring the oxygen, bring the air. What is it that's going to keep our fire going that looks like oxygen? Have you ever watched a fire? You built your fire. If you did your fire a couple of weeks ago and you build the fire and the fire starts to dwindle down, the fuel starts to go away, the heat starts to go away, and sometimes you just need to breathe on the fire in order for it to get fired up again, right? What is that oxygen, that air, that is going to keep our fires going? I mean, we believe in the resurrection. I mean, by a show of hands, who believed that Jesus walked the earth and died on a cross? Good, amen. Someone said amen. Someone really believes it. Okay, who believed that Jesus died on a cross and was resurrected on the 3rd day? Yeah, good. Most of you. Yeah, okay. Some of you raise your hands. Some of you not. Yeah, I'll be on you later. But we'll talk later. But, you know, it's really important that blaze keeps going. We want that blaze to keep going. And sometimes we need something to give us some air, some oxygen. For me personally, I love to hear other people's stories. In fact, I wish people had little drop-down menus on their heads. You can touch their head like that and give you a little drop-down menu and tell you like the key points of people's lives. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and life would be so much easier if you just little drop-down menu on your head and it tells you the key points of the... And I get to hear people's story. When I hear people's stories, I get excited, especially if those stories have been impacted by Scripture, impacted by people who are passionate about Christ, and impacted by the church and had an experience. And as your pastor, I have a privilege of hearing people's stories. And when I hear these stories, this breathes new life into me. This breathes fresh air into my resurrection belief. This brings new life into my faith. During the Advent, during the Christmas study, we did an Advent study, and part of the class was about sharing the deep story that you have and how that's affected your life. And one of the young women in the class shared her story, and this really breathed air on my faith. When she sent it to me this week, I asked if I could share it this week. She sent it to me via email, and I started to weep as I read it. She shared it with us and for us to share in service today, I hope it breathes fresh air into your faith. She says, I lost my mother to cancer when I was 8 years old. Because of this, I struggled with emotional and behavioral problems as a child. And she was sent to live in group homes and residential treatment programs to help her with her mental state. She said, my first year of high school, I moved back to high school and moved into a regular high school at 14 years of age, and she moved home as well. She says, I have trouble acclimating to public high school, and so in my final year of high school, I moved out with friends at 17 years of age. She said, this led to alcohol and drug abuse and led me down the deep spiral to addiction. In my mid-20s, I was arrested and went to a drug treatment halfway house. This is called Empower to Change, where they had a faith-based program, and the leader of the program was a minister. She said she struggled to stay clean, but she's seen other people's lives being transformed by Christ around her. Later, I moved home, and through diligently seeking Jesus in prayer, through reading the Bible and others, I became clean. God helped me restore my mind and bring me inner peace, she said. He delivered me completely from addiction and negative thinking. She says, I grew in my spiritual understanding. I got involved in the church, this church. I sing in choir. I lead worship. I'm an avid Bible study attender. I'm involved now in missions, in feeding the homeless, volunteering at Salvation Army. Graduated from college with her associates and is now on the way to getting her bachelor's. Lately, she leads the Celebrate Recovery Group, which is an addictions program that leads people to Christ and to transform them through Christ over at Bayside, my friend's church, Pastor Terry over there. She said, Jesus has completely transformed my life. He is my healer, my savior, and my deliverer. And she adds a little prayer at the end there. Thank you, Lord, for my new life in Christ and the freedom you have given me. Amen, right? Is that breathe new life on your relationship? Yeah. Now you're all sitting there thinking, who is this? Well, her name's Pam Cowsett, and she normally sings in the choir over here, and she normally stands here with the mic on Sunday. Completely transformed her life. There were two disciples who were on the road thinking about the resurrection story. In fact, it was the evening of the resurrection, and these two disciples were a little confused about their own faith. They'd followed Jesus. They'd been with him, right next to him, and walked with him. And they knew who he was. They knew that he said, I'm going to die and I'm going to be resurrected on the third day. And that had all happened. But these two people were still confused about whether and why it happened and whether Jesus was still the Messiah. And we pick up this story in Luke chapter 24. If you've got your Bibles with you, open it to Luke 24. We're going to display the verses for you, but open it on your phone if you've got it too. Love for you to follow online if you are following this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 is where we are. So it's after the resurrection, and these two disciples are contemplating what has happened. That same day, two of Jesus' followers are walking to the village of Emmaus. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they walked and talked, discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. So these two disciples were obviously discussing what had gone on that day and whether it was really for them, whether Jesus was really the Messiah or not. Now, Pete Grieg, who's done extensive study on this particular verse, on this particular chapter, he wrote this book, How to Hear God. He believed and discovered that this couple, this two people, were probably a husband and wife. So those of you are in a husband and wife relationship know that the discussion gets a little more heated than with friends, right? And this is what's happening here. This discussion going on is these two are wondering whether this Messiah was really the Messiah. So they walk about 7 miles, which is from the distance from here to the Fenway in Dunedin. So if you walk from here, get on the trail, walk down there, it's about an hour and 45 minutes if you're going fast, 2 hours, 15 minutes if you're going a little bit of a dawdle. So I think the two that are in our scripture today were doing a bit of a dawdle. They're walking along. As they walk along, they're talking about everything that happened. At verse 17, this guy comes up alongside him, Jesus himself. "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stop short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened there the last few days." So maybe they're walking along at this, you know, slow kind of place, and Jesus catches up with a bit of a clip kind of thing. He's walking real fast, catches up with them. "Hey, what's going on? What's happening?" And the two, the husband, turn to Jesus and say, "Are you living under a rock? What's wrong with you? Are you born on the sun? Were you born in a barn or something? Have you not noticed what's going on in these last couple of days here in Jerusalem, in the city? This event, everybody would have known. It's like living in America in 2023 and not knowing what 9/11 is, that impacted one city, that impacted a whole country, that impacted the rest of the whole world. And this is what was happening right now and right then." And this couple were just absolutely aghast that this guy that had appeared alongside him didn't know what they might be talking about. Of course, we're talking about the resurrection and Jesus. Have you not heard what's going on? These things that have gone on? Jesus asks a question. What things? "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." Here's a key verse here. "We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. You could almost like hear the sigh in their voice when Jesus asked them, "What things?" "Well, some people said he was a teacher. Some people said he was a good prophet. You know, we were with him for a while. And you know, they all said that he was going to be the Messiah," kind of thing. "And then our own religious leaders, the ones that taught us all of the scriptures, our own religious leaders who told us about the Tanakh and made us remember the Old Testament by rote, all of them put Jesus on the cross. They handed him over to the Romans, the evil oppressors of the day, the ones who took possession of our city. And they nailed him to a cross, put him in a tomb. That's what happened. We had hoped he was the Messiah. We'd had hoped that all the scripture that we'd ever learned, that all of the prophecies, that everything that we read in the scrolls was pointing to this one man that we were following, but he's dead. He's gone to be in the tomb." And this has all happened 3 days ago. And they go on to say, verse 22, "Then some women from our group, female disciples, were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." So they go on to tell what else had happened. The women ran to the tomb, and they seen angels and said, "His body's not here." And then just to confirm what the women were said was true, "We sent some men up there to make sure," right? Yeah, growing, yeah. So the women knew, The men knew. They'd seen the resurrection. They'd seen the angels. The men knew, and their whole foot race thing was kind of weird. And the men didn't really know, by the way. They were kind of confused. But they ran back to Jerusalem, and they told everybody, he's risen. But clearly, so the women who went to the tomb believed. The men who went to the tomb believed. But clearly, Cleopas and the husband still didn't really know. Still, this couple were confused about whether the resurrection actually happened. Interesting that these two were considered disciples, considered followers of Jesus, with him during these last 3 years. They'd been with him all along. Of course, they didn't recognize his resurrected body. There would have been no blood on it and no scars because it was resurrected. He'd come from the tomb. He had a new body. But they think that they would have noticed his voice. They couldn't hear him even when he's standing right next to him. Maybe some of you here have been walking with Jesus for a long time. Maybe you know the scriptures. You know the scriptures I'm talking about. You've got your Bible. You've been coming to church for a long time, but maybe you still can't hear the voice of Jesus in your daily life. They couldn't recognize him. They were the only ones that couldn't recognize him. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people," verse 25, "you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in Scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering in his glory? Didn't I say this 3 times? Then Jesus took them up through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You can imagine Jesus aghast at the fact that, like, everybody else was starting to believe and these two didn't. "You foolish people, everything that you've ever learned, everything that you wrote, all the scripture that you can quote off the top of your head because you know it verbatim in Hebrew, you can't notice that it actually points to me." Jesus Christ, full of mercy and grace, decides to explain the scriptures anyway. He went through all the writings, all the prophets. So that 2-hour journey from Jerusalem down to Dunedin, 2-hour journey from here to Dunedin, to Emmaus, they explain the scriptures all along the way. What was that like? The best intro to Old Testament study ever. Jesus explained to them where they were pointing to. And they showed them about the scriptures. And if I was Jesus, I'd have said, "Yep, Noah did this, Moses did this, Isaiah did this, and the resurrection, that's me. That's me. I'm Jesus, I'm here, and I'm the resurrected one." But he didn't say that, did he? In fact, doesn't even say anything. The next scripture is really funny. Verse 28, "By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if they were going on, and they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared." This is the funniest part of this scripture. Jesus is walking along with Cleopas and his wife, right? And they're walking along. And I don't know, maybe it's a left turn to Emmaus. I don't know, but they go left. And Jesus, like, pretends to walk on, you know? And he walks on, and they're like, whoa, where are you going? "No, come and stay with us. You don't want to be out in the dark. We're Jewish people. We don't go out in the dark at night. We know it's dangerous at night. Come and stay with us in our little cottage in Emmaus. Come with us. We've got the bread going. You know, the bread you really like, the Hawaiian bread." Yeah. Notice Jesus never forces himself on us. He did this somewhere else as well in Mark's gospel, when the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and the boat's rocking and the sea's getting really bad. Jesus walks out onto the water and he walks past the boat. And Simon Peter's like, whoa, where are you going? "Help us, we're drowning." Jesus never forces himself on you. Nobody ever hitting people over the head with the Bible ever encourages people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? They have to invite him. Hey, come with us. In fact, the scripture says they beg him. Come with us. Come stay with us. Stay the night. Eat with us. It's getting dark. So they invite him over to their home, wherever they're staying. Stay the night with us. He goes over them, eats it, and something happens. They have the bread. I don't know. Maybe they were there on the Mount of Olives when they were passing out the bread to the 5,000 people. There was a way he did it. He got the bread and separated it. I don't know what he did. Broke it up into little bits and threw it out at each other. Whatever it was that he did, there was a way that he did it. Notice it wasn't what he said. It was what he did that changed their experience. Oh, now we know. All the lights start going on. Oh, and their eyes were opened. It was like they breathed fresh air into their fire. Now we know. This is Jesus. And Jesus just like disappears out of nowhere. And they have this encounter. They have this revival in their spirits. Oh, now I really believe the resurrection happened for me. What happens next? Then they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. Didn't we have heartburn? Didn't our hearts get lit up? Didn't that word breathe into us new life? And notice immediately they had a reaction to this encounter with Jesus. Yet within the hour they left, which is Hebrew speak for immediately. So they walked all the way down to Emmaus, took them 2 hours, met with Jesus, had a bread break, and walked all the way back to Jerusalem to be with people. They went a little faster probably this time. Get all the way to Jerusalem, and they meet the disciples there, the 11 that are left, and the women there who'd seen the body, and they said, guess what? We believe that Jesus was risen too. And this breathed new life on the people that were there. This breathed new life on the other 11 disciples. We get it too. And there's like a breath of fresh air moved in and amongst the people. I don't know what they said. He is risen. And they all replied, he is risen indeed. See, when we really know for ourselves, this gives us fresh air. This gives us our fire breathed into our fire, and we're fired up and ready to hear from Christ afresh and anew. For me, it's when I hear a personal testimony. It's for me when I hear Pam's story and how she met with the risen Christ. This breathes fresh air to me. And today, I want to give you heartburn. I want your heart to be fired up afresh and anew. I want your heart to be strangely warmed. I want you to focus on those who have breathed into your life and helped your faith flame up. So today I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the word that Cleopas heard. I want to give you an opportunity for your faith to be fired up. Maybe you've heard the heat. You've felt the heat of God in your life. Maybe you've been faithfully pursuing the fuel of following Christ. Maybe you've been doing that for all your life, but you just need a breath of fresh air in your life. You need some oxygen to fire that thing up again. So our kneelers are open today. And if you need prayer, Pastor Kathy and I will be there. If you need your hands open like this, we'll pray for you. But come expecting God to reignite your faith. Maybe you've been here before you know the deal, and you don't want to come down the front, but you want to be followed up with, you want to be prayed for, you want to be led to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, you want to sit in your pew on your own personal place on your phone, we'd love for you to text follow to this number. Just text follow to 353-LOVE. And if you're new today and you've never met Jesus before, you've never decided to follow Jesus, and you want some of that excitement, you want some of that fresh air, you want something that will fire up your faith that is so different than before, and it's your first time, we would love for you to accept a gift at the welcome desk. Over here, we've got a gift for you. If it's your first time, let us know. But today, I want you to know that Jesus, in a life-changing relationship with Jesus, gives you heartburn. The kneelers are open, the steps are open. You're welcome to come down here and pray. You're welcome to spend some time in your pew in reflection too. But most of all, I want you to have heartburn. Come, the kneelers are open.